Soldiers for Christ community. I could, Pastor Ben's gonna slap me.
Soldiers for Christ. Soldiers global. For Christ.
Global international.
No, global community church.
Church. Yeah. Global, I'm still getting used to it. But thank God, and we are. We're gonna have Ryan pray us in. I should call him Minister Ryan.
Yeah.
The SALT Men's Prayer Group. And then we're going to get started on tonight's Bible study.
Mr. Ryan, someone asked me, what does SALT mean? Can you say what SALT means?
SALT means Sanctified Ambassadors Living Truth.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Father, we just come to you tonight. We thank you for bringing us here. We come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that your presence would be here, would anoint Pastor Sandy.
Yes.
Would speak through your word to us, and that we would be open to receive everything that you would have us to learn tonight. Father God, we ask that truth would be known, truth would be revealed, and that you would prepare the way for what you're about to do. May we be ready to stand before you more tonight than we were this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. So, let's get these, my beautiful birthday cards, they're not birthday cards, they're Christmas cards. And I have one from Andrea De La Fleece, or is De Fleece? Andrea De Fleece. Andrea De Fleece. And she is from Downingtown, Pennsylvania. And she sent me this beautiful, I'm gonna put that on the fireplace when I get home. Yes, I do have a fireplace. Thank you, Andrea. And I have another one here from Paul and Karen Bland. And you know, when they send a birthday card, they do church at home, and they make all the kids give.
Oh, goodness.
So,
amen.
You got to put this in the bucket, Pastor.
Oh, okay.
And so this is from Paul and Karen Bland.
And this is she already sent me a Christmas card, so it says, one secret to having a wonderful life is to have a great friend like you. Hallelujah. Sorry your great friend hasn't been able to answer the phone because your great friend has been blowing. We won't say that. It's a nasty word. Liquid out of my nose. So it was disgusting. So, but I'm feeling all great today, and I'm all back 100%. And praise God. And this is from Dale Fought, and he's in from Prospect, Tennessee. And I hope I said Fought is the last name. And Prospect, Tennessee. And this is the Christmas card from him. Looking forward to meeting and hugging you soon at the feast. Soon. Oh, God, please soon. I am really... And who is this from? Nestor. Okay. Kim and Gary Nestor. Dear Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, and all of the rest of the wonderful S4C family, thank you for being such a blessing to us all. See you soon at the cloud party. Kim, I think it's Kim and Gary Nestor. So it looks like a K-I-M, but it could be an N, but it's a K-M. So praise God, and we are going to get started here. I want us to, first of all, to get you in the mood for what the Lord wants me to talk to you about tonight. I want us, first of all, to... I'm just turning off my phone, to go to Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. And let me see if I can look at Psalms to see what year it was written. Because the Psalms are written at least, let's see, at least 1,000 years before Christ arrives on the scene. And probably some of those Psalms even earlier than that. But my Bible usually has the date. But we will, oh, here it is, B.C. 3 B.C. Okay, so, no, this spans centuries. It was 3 B.C. as much as, no, that's Zerubbabel. Hallelujah. My wife's here. Praise God. Okay, so if you're in Psalms chapter 22, I'm going to read the first verse 1. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Where did we hear these words before? My God, why have you forsaken me? Where have we heard those words? On the cross. Exactly. So we have to understand that here we are in the book of Psalms. Jesus is not even born yet. He hasn't even come into the words. But the psalmist is already quoting the exact words he's going to say when he's on the cross. So when Jesus comes in and he finally goes to the cross, these are the words that he begins to speak. And someone says, Eloi, Eloi, lama ozevoti. It's not chabantani, which some people say because that's the way it's written in English. But ozevoti means like, my God, why have you left me? Why have you, your presence left me? And the reason the presence had left him was because inside of Jesus at that very moment in that body was all of our sins. Every sin of every man was now being deposited upon Christ. And so the Holy Spirit, the presence of God and sin can't be in the same place. So he says, my God, why have you, ozevoti, why have you left me? Why have you left my presence? And so at this time, Christ is on the cross. He's about to die. And he's going through all of this for us, right? And it says, why are you so far from saving me? So far from the word of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night. And I am not silent, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trust, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. Were saved in you. They trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All whom see me mock me. They hurl insults and shake their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me to trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast upon you, and from my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me like strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Speaking of the guards, and it says, roaring lions tearing prey, and they open their mouth wide against me. I pour out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. This is a true story. It says, my heart is turned to wax. It's melted away within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. He's describing his everything that he's going through on the cross. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. This is in Psalms 22. I had a rabbi this one day. I was like, in the beginning, who's talking here? He goes, well, let's find out. They pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced Jesus' hands and his feet, didn't they? Well, you know, goes south from there because it's like, get out. But here we have a full description of Jesus on the cross, all of the suffering, his feelings, his emotions. And then we get here and it says, I count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. They did that. This is in Psalms 22. So that means, look, our salvation was already being planned way before Jesus got to the cross. This psalm is quoting Jesus' emotions and words that he says while he's on the cross. Let's go over to verse 29. Because he wants to tell you why he's doing this. It says, all the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Prosperity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to people yet unborn, for he has done it.
Yes.
You see that? They're talking about what he's... He says, for people that haven't even been born yet, this is why I'm doing this.
Yes.
I'm doing this for people who haven't even been born yet. So, but one of these days, they will be the rich that feast with me. But it says every knee is going to bow and say and confess that he's Lord.
Yes.
Okay? So the denying that Jesus died and came, died, and died on the cross is not even a question to be argued. Okay? We know it happened, but the fact that it's written about before you even get to it,
yes,
kind of blows your mind. Amen. Right? Now, I say that because as we're going through this week and we're going through, okay, I hope the rapture's this week. I hope the rapture's this week. I hope the rapture's this week. Someone sent me some message and says, well, now maybe you guys will figure out that there's no rapture and we're all going to go through the tribulation.
Wow.
So as I'm trying to figure out a Christian way to respond, which I did, I said, I don't really talk to people who are ignorant about the Bible, but have a good life. And then I blocked them.
Good.
Okay.
How you doing?
Because if anybody's still arguing about mid-trib, post-trib, that means you haven't read any of the Bible. Because it is like one of the dumbest arguments in scripture from beginning to end to say, maybe the church goes through the tribulation. That means you haven't read anything, okay? It is a fact that the church is going to be leaving before the tribulation begins.
Yes.
That's just fact, yes, okay? It is a fact that a wedding has been planned. That's just fact,
yes,
okay? Is somebody at the door? Okay. So there's some things that we're not going to get past, okay? But for someone to try to hit me up with some lame statement like that, I thought to myself, There are some people out there that really don't know the reality of what we're living in. Amen. And I said, even at this last hour, you have people out there that are still saying, Jesus is not coming back. And I'm like, it's just crazy. Before I get to our notes, I want us to go to Matthew. And I believe it's 22. When you get there, say, let's go. Bon alech. That's how you say let's go in Hebrew. Listen to this. Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, and they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Yes. But they paid no attention and went off, one to a field, one to his business. The others seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Yes. The king was enraged. He sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Yes. Who is he talking about here?
The Jews.
The Jews are the people that Christ came to first, to let them know that the Messiah is here, okay? Yeah. I'm here for you. But they were like all of the ancestors before them. Mm-hmm. When a prophet would come, they would beat him up and kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeremiah, you talk about all of the prophets were very badly mistreated by Jews, okay? And so now, since they have rejected the wedding feast, first of all, the parable which Jesus is telling here is saying that the kingdom of God is like a king who's giving a wedding banquet for his son, and he's already prepared it, okay? And he says the people that he called to be invited to it have rejected him, okay? So now, in verse 8, new beginning. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servant went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding banquet was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Whole history behind the wedding clothes. Yes. Because when the king gives a banquet or a party at the palace, you can't come in your own clothes. Once you accept the invitation, the king or the royal family issues you clothing to wear to the banquet.
Yes.
And so you can't go. So now when everybody's at the banquet, whether you're poor or whether you're rich, everybody has on the same garment. So it doesn't matter. So this is why they did that. And so therefore, here's a guy at the wedding banquet, but he hasn't have on any wedding clothes. He decided to wear his own stuff, or he doesn't have his wedding clothes. Which means he got in there the wrong way. Okay? And it says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he said, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. It says, then the king told the attendants, tie him up hand and foot, throw him outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. The chosen are the Jewish people. They have been chosen to come to the wedding banquet. The invitation is to us. So we go out and we invite people to Christ because a wedding is going to happen.
Yes.
This is the whole focus of the Bible, is that a wedding is going to happen. If people weren't trying to milk people for money and preaching tithes and offering all the time, they would preach, we've got to stay ready for the wedding. Because the most important thing for God is that the focus of that you're preparing for a day to come that you don't know of, you're staying focused on Christ because you know there's a wedding that you need to attend, and the garment that you was issued must be kept safe and on, right? Which is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So this is what the scriptures is focused on. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about a king, his son, and a wedding.
Yeah.
No matter what Bibles, which book you read, it's going to be about a king, a wedding, and his son, okay? Because this is what the scripture wants the church and the whole world who claims Jesus Christ to be focused on.
Yes.
Because you're not in this just to be a good Christian.
Amen.
You're in this really for the great day. Even if you should die first and go to heaven, they're there wedding, preparing for the wedding feast. They're still there waiting for us to get there. So everything is still about that great day. So this is why when someone sends me a stupid message like that, I just go, there are many people out there. Well, I just think, well, some satanic group sent him.
Yeah.
But there are many Christians out there. You go, hey, man, you know about the rapture? No, I have no clue. And it's like, it's not their fault. They have churches that will not tell them about the rapture. They have many churches that don't focus on the fact of being ready to go. So it's not really a focused matter. There's always some other thing in the church that they're focusing on other than the fact of you're invited to a wedding feast and you have to prepare yourself and be ready. How are you going to do that? You're going to stay in your word. You're going to stay prayerful. You're going to repent if you sin, because when you sin and you take off your garment, you got to put that garment back on.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Someone goes, oh, so you mean every time I sin, I'm not ready for the rapture? Listen, that's a childish question, okay? Everybody knows when you're in a relationship, right?
Right.
Nobody has to tell you you're in a relationship. And you don't operate in your relationship like the other person's done.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't do things to the other person and then not apologize.
Right.
Because that would mean like, I just think you're dumb. I can do anything to you I want. And you just don't really notice. Okay. So God has a scripture that says he's not mocked. You will reap what you sow. Right.
Right.
So we want to be in a real relationship. I don't want to offend God and walk around like nothing happened.
Amen.
I don't want to be caught up in sin and then knowing that this is not a good position to be in and then acting like nothing's going on. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that God knows that I'm aware that the Holy Spirit is always correcting me. And when he corrects me, I want to be quick to repent and to be in perfect line with you.
Yes,
that's staying prepared.
Yes.
Okay. So, this Bible study tonight, the Lord said, is about people are betting against the Bible.
That's crazy.
They're betting that the Bible won't come true.
Hmm.
That's what they're doing. They're like, everything's going to be put back in order. And the world's going to be a utopia, and we're all just going to, everything's going to work out perfectly, right? There's going to be free checks and all of this stuff. And It's really what they got the world focused on, okay? Is the utopia, and then we'll all accept each other, no matter what religion, sexual preference, whatever, we're just going to all learn to love each other because love is the most important thing. And that's the thing that a lot of churches are being drawn into, okay? Got a church doing a gay wedding. How can a church do a gay wedding?
That's crazy.
I have Christian friends that sent me pictures of them at a gay wedding. I said, and they, I go, as a Christian, how could you sit there knowing that this is an abomination to God? How can you sit there and say, oh, isn't this a wonderful service? Let me tell you something. Me and Drea are tight. If you offend Drea, you have offended me.
Thank you.
You understand? And if you offend my God, you have offended me. So I don't know where this mentality in church is coming from, but I know one thing for sure. You cannot bet against the Bible.
Amen.
So I'm going to read a couple things that happened, and one of the our members brought this to my attention. Now, do you guys know what Kristallnacht was? Kristallnacht is the night of broken glass.
Oh, yeah.
It was a 2 days of rioting and destruction, but it began on November 9th, 1938, okay? That's 11/9, okay? Or 9/11,
oh,
you understand? But let's look at this though. So on November 9th in 1938, they destroyed all of these Jewish businesses, okay? It's 1938. Jews are living in Germany. They have merged into Germany, you understand?
Yeah.
They have businesses there. They have synagogues there in Germany. Now, if they knew the Bible, they would have known we've got to get out of here. And many Jews were saying, we got to get out of here. Okay? Because this is what happened on that night. About 30,000 Jews were moved out of their, were moved to concentration camps. And 1,500 synagogues were broken into, pillaged, and destroyed. So you have all of this going on. They're, in 1938, they're putting Jews into concentration camps. They're destroying businesses, and they're tearing up their synagogues. But the Holocaust hasn't really started yet. So, as a Jew, do you think to yourself, well, it's just something that the country's going through right now and things will get better? Huh? Come on now, if you're Jewish, you're there, you got businesses there, you got friends there, okay? You've got to be thinking to yourself, now why did this evening start? Because they said a Jewish kid assassinated a German diplomat in another country. So they said this is why the whole thing happened. But it happens on 11/9. Now look, we have 9/11, which is the World Trade Center. But remember the campfire fires that happened up north?
Yeah.
That happened November 9th. Which is 11/9. So I don't want people to think, because I know of some other things that have happened, like after 9/11, exactly 911 days later, they sabotaged a train in Europe, and all of these people died on the train on March 11th. But they made sure it was exactly 911 days after 9/11. So I think it's foolish of us to believe that there aren't satanic people in this world that do evil things to human beings.
Amen.
We're living amongst it. So in November 11th, 2018, when they burnt up all those homes, everybody says laser beams, they're burning homes. All these homes are burned. Now, if it's a forest fire, there was no trees burned. If the beams were just burning up the homes, the cars, and they would be burnt to the point where the tires were melted. Yeah. The iron on the tires were melted. So they were, even the firemen were like, this is something we have never seen in our lives. But we believe that it was a forest fire. Why? Because 95% of the media is owned by the same Satanists who started the fire. So we just believed, it was a forest fire, those poor people, right? There is a spiritual attack against human beings.
Yes.
Reduce the world's population to 500 million. That means 6.5 billion people got to die. And they will stand on stage and talk about the reducing the world population. Now, that happened in Germany, but Jews were not leaving. You know why? They thought to themselves, it's going to get better. I mean, it can't get any worse than this, you know. It'll be it better. And in the situation that we are in right now, you know what we believe? It's going to get better. They're going to make sure that we all get the proper vaccines, and they wouldn't put anything bad in the vaccine, even though the people in Australia, they put HIV, a form of HIV into the vaccine, and the people who took the vaccine were coming up HIV positive.
What?
So it was like, whoa, I put it on YouTube. They took it off, but on Facebook, they took it off, but you know, and then some people getting bowel palsy from bowel palsy is like, I didn't know it was a facial paralysis. Yeah. I was like, from taking a vaccine, they're getting facial paralysis. And I'm like, okay. So the whole thing about it is that in the same situation of Jews in Germany in 1938, because the Holocaust started in 1939, we're believing things are going to get better because that's the heart of human beings. We're hoping it gets better. But they didn't understand what Satan was planning.
No, they didn't.
Hitler was already in place. You understand? So I want us to go to Genesis chapter 10, or you can look on your page, your note page that I gave you here. Genesis chapter 10, it gives you a genealogy of all the nations. Out of one man, all nations came from one man, from the blood of one man. And who is that? You say, Adam, you're wrong. It is Noah and his three sons. Out of them came 70 nations. Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 10, it says here, this is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japhet, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. The sons of Japheth. Okay? Now, I wrote next to Japheth, and you can write this in your Bible, you could write European, because all he's going to do is name all the European areas right there. Okay? So he says, the son of Japheth was Gomer, which is Germany, Magog, Russia, Madai, which is, I put it down here, Iran or Medi-Persia, okay? Javan, Tubal, Meshech, Tiris, the son of Gomer was Ashkenaz, which is the whole European area, right? Because that's where you get an Ashkenazi Jew. That means you're Jews that came from Europe, okay? So the sons of Gomer was Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Tergoma, which is Turkey. Then it gives you all the names of all of these places, but they're all European based. So when Germany becomes Germany, God already knew that Germany was going to just be what? Gomer. That it's really Gomer, but they've renamed it Germany. So now it's Germany. He knows that Magog is really going to be Russia. Okay, but he's naming to you all these nations. Now he's doing this in Genesis, so that means God already knows where Germany is going to be. Okay, let's go to Hosea, the book of Hosea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 1. Now, God is going to promise Israel their punishment. Now watch this. I'm going to start reading verse 2, okay? Hosea chapter 1. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of adultery and departing from the Lord. So God tells Hosea, I want you to go marry an unfaithful woman who has children outside of wedlock, because I want you to feel how I feel, because the land, the whole nation of Israel, has cheated on me and become an adulterous wife. So he says, this is what I want you to do. He says, so. Hosea went and he married Gomer, the daughter of Zebulun, and she conceived and bore him a son. Now, he don't know if that son's his or not, but he marries Gomer. What is Gomer? Germany. Magog is. So he marries a woman who has the name of ancient Germany. She has a kid, and they named the kid Jezreel, which is the place in Israel that the last battle is going to take place. Then she said they have another child, and she names that child Lo-Ruhama. What does Lo-Ruhama mean? No mercy. So God is saying in Germany, in Gomer, there'll be no mercy for Israel. They have another kid, and they named that kid Lo-Amin, which means what? Not my people. So he said, in Germany, there'll be no mercy, and you won't be my people. So he's announcing to them where it's going to take place and how you're going to be treated in Germany. Now, if you know that, and you're living in Germany, and you've read the Bible, you will go, wait a minute. The Bible says that this place is going to get pretty messed up, right? The Bible says that Germany is going to become the focus of your judgment. But in their hearts, they're believing this Zebulun, this Germany that we've, this Gomer that we've married, oh, it'll get better. Even though we all know there is no America in Bible prophecy. But we all believe it's going to get better. So, as you're reading the book of Revelation, they talk about many nations. Never once do they talk about United States of America. So, we have a lot of patriots. Everybody wants to save America. Everybody has abandoned the Bible. They don't want to understand that the Bible says a world leader is coming who is an antichrist figure. And anti doesn't mean he's against Christ. That means he's a pseudo-Christ. So somebody's coming pretending they're a Christian. And he is going to not only rule one nation, but he's going to rule over all nations. It says he's going to go out to conquer all nations, okay? So, as a Christian, can I love America? Yes. Can I abandon the Bible because I love America?
No.
No. I have to realize where I'm at in history, okay? You're in Germany. It's 1938. Okay? Now, if you know well enough, if you go to Psalms chapter 39, you know that Israel is crying out to God because of something evil that's going on where they're living. And if Psalms 39 is for 1939, that means in 1938, Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, was only 1 year away from Holocaust. But the Bible was telling you this.
Yeah.
The Bible was telling you, you are 1 year away from Holocaust. How you know? Because Psalms 39 begins the Holocaust. Psalms 40 will be the full year, and it'll go on for 6 years till 1945. There will be Holocaust in Germany.
Yes.
Now, someone says, well, he didn't say it after, but he was like, the Holocaust and Hitler is not even mentioned in the Bible. I really don't understand, you know, how people could go through this, and it's not even in the Bible. You know, there's no mention of Hitler. And I'm like, no, I told the guy, Jewish guy, I said, no, Hitler is in the book of Esther. He said, where? I said, Haman is Hitler in the book of Esther.
Yes.
And he goes, how do you figure that Haman is Hitler? I said, because Hitler had 10 henchmen that got hung. Hitler had 10 henchmen that got hung after he died.
Right.
Haman had 10 sons that got hung after he died. And he says, well, you can make that, you know, assumption, but it really don't mean that. I said, well, let's look at the names of the sons of Haman. Inside the names, if you look at your notes, in what Jesus calls jots and tittles, is written the year 1947.
What page
is it? It's on this page two. See how that Hebrew is written? This is why you learn a little Hebrew. Because none of us really know what jots and tittles are. But jots and tittles are, oh, I wrote that letter a little bit smaller than I usually write the letters. And when Jews write the Torah out, they have to write the Torah exactly the way it's written. So if a letter looks too small, they have to write it too small. If a letter looks to be bigger than all the other letters, God did it for a reason. So God made these letters, that's the Hebrew letters for the year of 5707, which is 1946 or 1947.
Yes.
But it's 5707, but only after September.
Amen.
So then when we read, as we read this, we realize that the trial happened October 1946. So that means it was 5707.
Yes.
So God put the year that Hitler's 10 henchmen are going to be killed in the book of Esther before Hitler's born. And he tells the story using hangmen. And he tells you the exact year that this hanging of 10 is going to happen again. And he puts the year there. And so, if you understand Bible prophecy, you go, oh my goodness, Hitler's going to die, and he has to die by 1945, because in 1946, they're hanging his 10 henchmen.
That's right.
That's why I told you guys to watch that movie. They were trying their best to kill Hitler.
Yeah, they were.
They were setting bombs. They put a bomb in a wine case on a plane, and the bomb didn't go off. And Hitler survived that. Then they put a bomb under his desk while he's giving a speech, and he stepped back, and the bomb went off, but it was an iron desk, so it didn't harm him. Every year, these Christian soldiers were trying to kill Hitler, and they couldn't kill him. Why? Because the scripture says he wasn't going to die till 1945. Because scripture is going to come true. So now, because the Lord said the United States, especially the United States, but all over the world, people are betting against Bible prophecy.
Crazy.
You saying the Antichrist is not coming, and the Bible says the Antichrist is coming. You're saying, no, it's going to be world utopia, and we don't need Jesus because we're going to get it all together, and it's going to be a great socialist country, and they're going to give us all stimulus checks, and it's going to be wonderful. Did you hear about the plan to give you $1,500 for you to take the vaccine?
What?
There's a plan. That, hey, you, $1,500, now you know.
There'll be a lot of people taking that.
Be in line like this. You know what I mean? Mask on and everything.
Yeah.
Looking at the line, stepping up. $1,500 to take the vaccine?
That's crazy.
They said it'll be an incentive. You get your stimulus check as soon as you take the vaccine. So, why are we, okay, I'm not saying it's not good to hope for the future. But read the Bible and put your trust in who? Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells a wonderful story about a wedding that never gets to see the tribulation. The Bible tells a wonderful story about a group of people who never get to meet the Antichrist. And this is what the Bible is trying to get you to focus on. I want you to focus on getting out of here because God has made a plan for you not to be here.
That's right.
Your job is not to sit here and plan how wonderful it's going to be and to be marching with all this stuff. And like, we got to make sure that Trump gets into White House because this is all going to turn out to be beautiful.
Ooh.
Look, if he does, he does. But my hope will still not be in Donald Trump.
Right.
I'm still waiting for something to happen.
Man.
And I heard him giving a birthday, a Christmas greeting today, and he said, "Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is born on this day." I was like, there's some big words coming out of Donald Trump's mouth. Now, he might be cursing next to you, I mean,
right,
next
right,
week,
right.
But I was like, today he sounded pretty Christian.
Get them Christian votes.
Amen. Listen.
5 minutes, Pastor.
Antichrist is coming. The setup to tribulation is standing before you, even though you don't really want to believe it. Okay, let's talk about the present day. The present day, Revelation chapter 13. Let's go read that. When you get to Revelation chapter 13, let me know. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay, I'm going to start reading at verse 5 then. It says, "The beast was given a mouth to utter proud and blasphemous and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints," meaning the tribulation saints,
yes,
"and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast." Do you hear that? This is the Bible. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All those whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. So he makes a correction. There'll be some of people that will be confessing Christ. And as long as they're confessing Christ, their name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Because they have decided, my goodness, the Antichrist is here. My friends were raptured away. And now I'm going to believe in Jesus no matter what. They left me instructions. They told me they might behead me, but it'd be better to die and to live and go to heaven and be with God and be with my family than to die serving Satan and go to hell.
Yes, Lord.
So they're deciding. So it says, but it says, all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. You hear that? He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. That means God is not coming to rescue you from death during the tribulation. Okay. I'm trying to tell you about the good news. There is a pre-ticket away from all this. It's called Jesus Christ Now.
Yeah.
It says, this calls for patience and endurance of and faith. This calls for patience, endurance, and faithfulness on the part of the saints, tribulation saints.
Yes.
Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast on behalf of on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal womb had been healed. You hearing this? And he performed great miraculous signs, causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It don't say nothing about no church.
Right.
The inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed.
Yes.
He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in his right hand or in his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate. The number of the beast is the number of man, which is 666. Listen to this. Patient or patent W-2020-0606 was registered 26th of March 2020. The patent is application to filed by Microsoft Technology Licensing LLC, headed by Bill Gates. Cryptocurrency system using body activity data. And they call it what? The W-O-2020-0606 patent for the virus that for the implementing of the virus and of the vaccine. Now, a man who they're trying to cheat into the White House, and I keep telling you guys, this is a fight between God and Satan.
Yeah.
So he texts, he says, if you want to support Biden, all you have to do is text vote 30330, which is 33 is, of course, Freemasons, right? Explained. Okay, it says support Joe Biden's presidential campaign, just text 30330. If you divide 2020 by 666, It's 30330.
No way.
Do it when you get home. So now, as humans, we go, well, that was just an accident. They didn't mean to do that. Of course, we know that 33rd degree and Freemasons always going together, but we don't really believe that Joe Biden picked that number just because 2020 is divided into it as 666 being perfect. We don't believe that. Like we don't believe the videos of him touching little girls, which is has millions of views.
Oh my goodness.
Yet he still was voted president. And Trump said, Trump was laughing when he said, they must think we're stupid. Joe Biden got more black votes than Obama.
What?
He got more black votes than Obama. He said, they must think we're stupid. But you have to understand, look, I love that people are patriotic. We're going for America. We want Donald Trump to win. We're hoping that these people get exposed and they get arrested. But all I'm saying to you is, if that's your only hope, you might be in a lot of trouble. But if your hope is Jesus Christ, you're set. There's a ticket out of here. There's a ticket out of here, but to sit here and tell you that there's no Antichrist coming and there's no world system, there's going to be a war that's going to kill 1/3 of the world population. That's 2 billion people, even if 1 billion people get raptured.
Yeah.
They said one war is going to kill 1/3 of the world population. So the world is heading head first into tribulation.
Yes.
It says people are going to be, there's going to be famines, pestilence, disease, starvation. They're going to starve people to death. Listen, this is coming. Nobody wants to hear the truth. Someone preach about hell, everybody, oh God, do we have to talk about hell? It's real. Pastor Shane talking about the Antichrist. He's not talking about loving Donald Trump. No, I'm talking about escaping what's coming.
Yeah.
It's 1938. You're in Germany. You're 1 year away from what? Holocaust. It's time to wake up and say we need to get out of here safely.
Yeah.
We have a worldwide shutdown. Listen to this. And now this will be it, Pastor Ben. Bill Gates called for total shutdown to combat COVID-19. Where did he call for a complete shutdown? In China. How can Bill Gates tell China to shut down? And it says here, the good news is that China did their shutdown, and they did it in a very serious way after a 6-week period of shutdown that's more extreme. Even the best state in the United States are likely to do this. But he called for a shutdown of what? He called for China to shut everything down again because of COVID. And they did it. What kind of man is telling every nation to shut their businesses down and no one can eat in a restaurant and no kids can go to school? They shut down the schools. I read the whole article. The schools in China, the schools in New York, the schools in Africa, the schools in France, the schools in Europe, everything is shutting back down. And we're sitting here going, well, it'll probably all get better. I hear the stimulus checks are coming. Instead of going, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your wonderful plan of rapture. I thank you for the wedding feast. I thank you, Father God, that you will not allow your church to be ran over by the Antichrist. I thank you that you have a plan for us already. That's our prayer. And that's real hope. Because there is going to be an escape, and you really have to be ready, and you really have to be in Christ. You want to be American? Fine. But you better be Jesus first.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.